Podcasting 2.0 for February 19th, 2021, episode 25. Can't Drive 55. Oh, yes, this is the Friday I've been looking forward to. Been without power for a bit, you know, been freezing my butt off.
You're not dead.
I'm not dead, that's right. And of course, it's not because I'm doing a podcast that I'm always looking forward to Fridays. It's because I'm doing a board meeting of Podcasting 2.0, podcastindex.org. I'm Adam Curry in Austin, Texas. And in Alabama, the man so powerful he controls the podcast climate, my friend on the other end, Dave Jones.
We're crisis averted. We yes. Solved the climate crisis. And by crisis, I mean the fact that Apple doesn't have a climate category.
I must say, Dave Jones, for a dude named Ben, IT admin guy, yeah, right. There's a shrewd business exec and marketing guy hiding under all those layers.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, that's me.
Let me tell you how I experienced this. Now, we could talk about my week later on. It's not all that interesting. It's just I was out of the loop. I was really out of the loop, literally out of the power loop. So, you know, then I'm studying energy sources and all this. And so I'm finally getting back into, okay, can I check in when I could on the Mastodon?
You're like, is podcasting still a thing? Is this
something still moving? Actually, I'm like, has anyone implemented Lightning yet? Okay. All right, keep going. And then I see this post, you know, you added climate, and then it's like, oh, that's interesting. And I, you know, again, I wasn't quite in the full on mode. And then I see Cridlin posting something, which I immediately perceived as snark. I'm like, what's this? And so there's this whole group that has been begging for a climate tag.
Yeah.
And it kind of hits me like, oh my, this is like a huge tipping point. And let me just take it one step further, because then I was listening to Podland this morning. I always listen to Podland when I'm taking a shower. It's a perfect length. Oh, it's a little bit longer, but, you know, and it's got chapters now, and I'm doing what I hate the most. Is I'm like, oh, I want to jump to the interview. So Tom Rossi was on. We'll talk about that.
I hadn't heard it yet. That's good.
Oh, it was a great interview. But then the tags come up, and here's how it was presented, which I just thought was amusing. You know, so here's the controversy. These guys wanted that, but you always have to kiss Apple's ass. And you know, who would really want the climate tag? And then, who's the other host? James's co-host.
Sam.
Yeah.
Sam said he's going to be on. We're going to have him on the show in about a month, I think.
Oh, cool. Well, he says, well, you know, President Trump wouldn't want that. He wouldn't want that tag. And then Cridlin goes, oh, yeah. And if you ever talk to Adam Curry, don't bring up climate. I'm like, what? And it hadn't even entered my mind. I'm like, oh, my God, this is so polarizing. Like, how? This is great.
That's funny. I'm almost completely climate agnostic. I mean, like, I don't know enough about it to speak to it at all. And, you know, I mean, I've got my own thoughts, but I don't even have enough real confidence in it to speak, you know, about it as if I know anything. But I'm, you know, but I don't really care. I mean, like, that doesn't have to even, like, the climate category, I think, is a good idea.
It's a great idea.
Do it.
It has nothing to do with climate change or anything like that. It's,
yeah.
But here's what became so obvious to me. And bless you, Tom Rossi, because this kind of came up in the interview portion. Now, so I haven't looked too deeply into it, but there's this whole initiative that wants the climate tag, and they've started, what is it, Podcasters for Change or some pathetic thing like that?
Declare.
Hold on.
Podcasters Declare. That's what it is.
Yeah, I want to. Let me just bring this up here for a second.
Good choice on a domain name, by the way, because that leaves it up. That doesn't tie it to just climate. You can declare lots of things. Like, you can declare different things in the future. It's like podcastersdeclare.com, I think.
Right. Yeah. Here it is. I'm going to put it on the put it in the show notes for a second. I want to have that there. Podcasters, we've got a real true crime on our hands. Apple has no climate category, but this open letter changes everything. This
good,
campaign
good PR.
This is great. It's big letters too. This campaign is for podcasters that see the benefit of a climate category. So you either listen to climate podcasts, make them, or just want to support them. And then it goes, here's the problem. Apple doesn't have a climate category, so it's too damn hard for listeners to find what they're looking for. This open letter will change that. Okay. So then there was this, and I'm mixing up two conversations now, probably, because I was also listening to Marty with Tales from the Crypt. But when, so Tom Rossi comes on, and they're talking about all the things that Buzzsprout has implemented for the namespace.
All right.
And now it hits me, even though we've had Tom on the show, if you listen to him, he has a cadence and a timbre that very...
Timbre?
Yes, thank you.
What is it? Timbre. Is that like... I just made it up.
Timbre? I made it up.
Okay, I'll go with it. Timbre.
How about this? He has a resonance in his voice. The pitch and the cadence is very close to that of Steve Jobs. And I was enchanted by it. And I was enchanted by it. Now, and it doesn't make sense to, I thought about pulling a clip, but you really got to listen to you got to listen to it over a couple minutes. And you're like, shit, man, it's like a very, almost between Steve Jobs calm, how I've met him, and Steve Jobs presenting. It's very interesting.
I agree with that. Me and Tom did a Zoom call thing about a week and a half ago. He was helping me kind of get up and going on Ruby in order to do the web sub project. Mm-hmm. And so he was like kind of talking me through some stuff. And yeah, it's like calm Steve Jobs. He made me feel good about my lack of knowledge.
Here's how good he made me feel. So I'm listening to all the tags they've implemented and have built tools for. With chapters, well, of course they are the genesis of the transcript, but the person tag,
sound bites,
exactly. Location. And I'm just listening to this. I'm like, and his philosophy and how they saw what was happening and what he was in essence saying, tying it back to the climate tag, is once we have enough of a market of apps that are implementing these, and I'm seeing it. I mean, to me now, we're very close to it, but I'm seeing what Hypercatcher does. I'm seeing what Podverse does. Podfriend. And I'm seeing the
Podcast Addict.
Yes. And I'm seeing the content show up. I'm seeing people tweeting me saying, oh, you know, I use Podcast Addict. And I want this functionality. I'm going to go over to Buzzsprout. And yep. Right now, Buzzsprout is the backbone, I dare say, of the podcasting 2.0 revolution. They are providing 90,000 people with the ability to add all of this content. And here is what will happen. It only takes a few, and I'm hoping it's going to be NPR. And maybe it will be NPR. If we can implement the climate tag, it's such a small issue for them to promote their podcast with these enhanced features available on XYZ apps. Mm-hmm. So that people can still enjoy whatever they want to on Apple or Spotify, but any of these other apps will give them the enhancement and I think they can drive that audience. I think they can. And so what I was thinking is I want to build on this and take it one step further. And I want to start with this feed, but I want to do it for no agenda. I want to switch my feed creation to Buzzsprout. They already do more than I can do with the Freedom Controller, which is nothing but just a lack of resources, which is, mm-hmm. but, you know, these guys are building the tools along with it. And I want to, now they don't have the value block, but I want to put them in my value block.
Oh.
Because they won't charge me. So I just want to put them into a value block and let's just see how that works.
They need a node, right?
We'll give them a node. Okay. I'm an expert now at giving people nodes.
Right. Yeah,
hey,
you are.
Hey, Graham, I need another code, man. Give me another node. I'll Bitcoin, y'all. I'll pay in Bitcoin. It's true.
Which reminds me, David, you need to send us your note ID.
David Hypercatcher. Norman. Yeah. So that we can kind of see what... Now, I don't want to move... I want to keep the feed hosted, and this is why I also want to put them in the value block, because I just want their creation tool. So I need to be able to get my feed out and then upload it to our own system, which is also going to save them a shit ton of money. I don't want... You know, I'm not going to put my MP3s on their system. Right. Just the creation tool. So I need some help with importing it, you know... Will it still work with the community chapters that are being done now? I think we can, in that transition, we might be able to solve some other problems with these community-based features. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. No, I think that's a great idea. Because they've got, what was holding it back before is they didn't have a couple of things that you needed, like images in the chapters and some of that. But now that, you know, now that we've got, well, if you're doing community chapters, though, I don't think that you can just stick a chapter URL in there, a chapter file URL.
Well, this is to be figured out. And it's also important for moving forward when someone, I mean, these types of additional features create enormous lock-in on the platform side. Because true. And not because they're locked in with a key and ha, 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 we have you. It's because they have excellent tools. We still should make it, or they, I mean, I can't tell them how to run their business. They should probably make it easy for people to migrate something somehow. Now, back to the original point I'm making. The hosting companies have always had their eye on Apple. The podcast apps and developers have always been the sickly brother with the plague down below. Who are, you know, like, well, what are those guys doing? What are those guys doing? And then kind of creating their own little world with enhanced audio features and speed listening. That's actually been quite beneficial because, you know, there's been so much time just to develop anything that would be a feature that's just the nature of it, you know, and people create that. Yeah. What neither of those parties considered was the content. So I believe you can drive, because I'm a podcaster, I believe I can drive people to consume my enhanced content on applications and through systems that support that. And I may not be able to drive everybody, but I certainly can drive a lot. And I know this because when there's something cool happening, maybe not necessarily with podcasting, people tell me because they've heard it on some other podcast. It has a network effect, and I'm already seeing this with some of these features that we have with the chapters. Now Buzzsprout added the images. These images are starting to delight people just today. I didn't know this, but on my lock screen, I saw the Podland image change.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, based upon the chapter. So the audience will drive this, and it's coming together so well. So I can help drive that. I have a pretty large audience for the value block. You know, it's no secret. I want to. We already have Max Kaiser, Max and Stacy. They're already seeing SAT streaming, but it's mainly, I would say, only from Sphinx. I don't, and from PodStation from me, because that's my main PodStation podcast that I listen to. Orange Pill podcast. But you know, we've got this about ready to open up, I guess what I'm saying is be prepared, because we will push these guys out of the way. They're either going to adapt or God knows what they're going to do, but they're not going to be able to keep up. This is going to be very easy at a certain point. I can feel it in my bones.
Well, the climate category tag, I did for a couple of reasons. Like I did it quickly for a couple of reasons. One was I thought it was a good idea. I'd love a climate tag because I'd like to.
Hey, I just sat through some climate here. I'd like to.
Yeah, I bet
know,
you would.
I know weather's not climate, but I'm interested in learning. Yeah.
You know, number two, I did it to show how much faster the open podcast ecosystem can respond when you don't have to wait on a company to make a decision.
Exactly.
And like, I think that's, that's just like, oh yeah, duh, that's easy to say. But I think there's a nuance there is it's sort of shameful that this group had to buy a domain and build a website and do an open letter and spend more than 5 minutes of their life.
Yeah.
Creating a thing just to petition and beg Apple to do something. Like, well, that exposes a serious problem. Oh, Apple does not own podcasting. No company does. And so there for somebody to have to go to a private company and beg them to do something doesn't make any sense in this context.
Nope.
I mean, like if you want them to add a feature to Apple Podcast app, yes, that makes sense. But if you want them to add a feature into the podcasting XML itself, what? You shouldn't. That's not. They don't own that.
Yeah.
That's not theirs. It doesn't belong to them. It belongs to all of podcasting as an ecosystem. And so, like, they should be able to just, instead of spending all this time and money to do all this kind of stuff, they should just been able to say, "Oh, here's the podcast namespace. Hey guys, we should put this in." And it would have taken like a day.
So I think this is all part of a much deeper issue. I don't know if it's a problem, but I do see it as it kind of goes back to my mom can't use it. You know, that's something when someone says that, and I've heard this all my life, well, my mom can't use it. And I finally I did it on the show, but I think the right answer is, well, I'm sorry, man, what's wrong with your mom? Is she learning disabled or what's going on with her? That's the correct answer. But you and I are a little older. We've been around podcasting, 16 years. This is much more than half of most podcasters' lives. This thing has been around. Or they have only been around for half of it. I mean, it's just like, I learned this during our blackout here. The people have become so, and you as an admin know this, have become so spoiled by technology and, oh, it'll just work. It's like an Etch-a-Sketch. Just shake it and it just works. And, you see the stupidity all the time. And, the classic example being my password. It won't accept my password. We'll click the caps lock off. That's like a classic. But when I realized that very intelligent people who I like, my neighbors and people who I love, my family, many of them could not connect the idea of lighting a stove, a gas stove, with anything other than the electric starter. It was when people say, I can't use my stove because I can't get it lit because, the starter won't fire.
Okay, I've been warning about this for a long time, and people just think I'm a crank, because I would definitely fall into the category of cranky old IT guy.
Okay, sure.
when I start bitching about things, everybody just kind of eye roll. But I've been grapping about this for a while. Is the more what you hear in the business world is, oh, the young people, they're so tech savvy. No, they're not.
You're right.
They're absolutely 100% not tech savvy. They have lots of devices and they have lots of apps, but that is not the same thing as being tech savvy. I mean, my mom downloaded Chrome. She has no idea how she did that or what she did. I mean, like that, you can do lots of things without actually knowing anything about the way it works. And I think it's worse now than it was then, because back then you were forced to have to learn pieces of the system.
To understand what was working underneath, yes.
Yeah, so you boot your computer up and you get some crazy IRQ conflict, error. And then you got to go, before you know it, 30 minutes later, you're in a config.sys file trying to figure out what, a high mem, low driver, memory driver. But you actually have to learn something in that process. And people kind of knew what that stuff was back then, mm-hmm, to a certain degree. Nowadays, you can't even get to that stuff, and things break, and it's just like, rebooted a few times. That doesn't work. I guess I got to get a new phone.
Right.
I mean, it's to that level. It's gotten worse. I know what you're saying about that has expanded to like a more general tech illiteracy that's not involved with computers, but more just like even just household day-to-day stuff.
So that's why my response when you say correctly that it shouldn't take more than 5 minutes of these people's time even thinking about this, it's because there is no literacy of the system. Our system is counter to the entire concept of technology, which is Silicon Valley, and you have a device that connects to them. The idea of truly decentralized people can't grasp it. And they go to the result, you know? So it's like, well, it's like someone saying, well, the internet's not working.
Yeah.
That's the result. Yeah, the internet is not working. Or I often hear my internet. When someone says my internet is not working, I've now learned, oh, something's wrong with your browser. And this is we see this tech illiteracy popping up in Australia with the Facebook banning of news sharing. And I'm like, oh my God, people do not realize what a browser is anymore. They only have apps. They don't understand what a browser is.
I'm glad you brought this up because I spent half the night last night just like thinking about this topic and looking at articles and just kind of getting my head around this. And I think this is huge. Number one, I think Facebook's making a terrible mistake.
Oh, yeah.
This is a horrible mistake. You don't ever want to show people that they can live without you. That's not a good decision for somebody who is in the market position of dominance that they are. If this goes on for very long, people are going to just here's a perfect example. This says, let me see if I can find it in this article. This guy says, Max Loomis, a 25-year-old research assistant in Sydney, said he'll revert to an old strategy to stay informed and set his homepage on his web browser to a newspaper's website.
Wow, what a concept. Start page.
I'm stunned.
Woo, we just went in a 25-year circle. That was great. But
listen to what he says. He says, it's what my dad used to do.
Oh, my goodness, everybody. We are officially old. Ah, come up on Grandpa's lap. We'll tell you how it used to be in the old days of the internet. Before we had Yahoo, we had made our own homepages with HTML, with blink tags.
Marquee.
Marquee. iframe.
He says, it's what my dad used to do, said Mr. Loomis, who previously would read news and share articles on Facebook multiple times a day. He says, I think I'll reduce my Facebook use quite substantially.
Yeah.
If you're Facebook, that is not what you want to hear. If Facebook has miscalculated this situation, I think Google's going in the opposite direction. You know, they're saying, oh yeah, we'll pay people. We have mountains and mountains of cash. We will pay people in order to preserve our market position.
Sure.
And because we don't want people to see that they can have a life outside of us. And Facebook is literally so full of themselves that they think that this is going to work. They don't realize that they don't have the protection. But so this is similar to like a Dish Network or DirecTV having a dispute with a broadcaster.
Yes, that's the thinking. Old model. Yeah, very old model. Yeah,
but they don't have the same protections that those guys do.
No. It's called smoking your own dope.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah. I had this list yesterday on No Agenda of what we've in, I would say in 2020, and anybody can argue the validity of each individual one, but I could say in 2020, 21, we have learned about the following corrupt institutions. Corrupt and no good. Maybe a better word is shit. How about that? education, teachers' unions, the curriculum, Common Core, all of this going on in higher education. Politicians corrupt with and entwined with China, like Mitch McConnell, Swalwell, but everyone up there is a piece of crap. Nancy Pelosi, they're all lame. They're all corrupt, the whole system. The pharmaceutical, pharma, the vaccines, you know, the whole medical industry, everything that we're in, this biosecurity state, insurance, health insurance, complete scam and ripoff. I mean, just anything about China, I'm pretty down on. You know, we've got the NBA, professional sports captured by China. It's all been exposed. Then we get to the stock market, how with Wall Street Bets, how all of this stuff is just completely rigged against the individual. We learned about the energy markets. No, it's not just climate change. It's not just windmills. It's the secondary markets. There's no incentive to protect people. It's about making money. Central banks and fiat, Bitcoin, I'm about to hit 55 today, 55,000. The white helmets in Syria, they got an award, and it was, speaking of awards, Andrew Cuomo, who killed people and lied about the numbers. Hollywood is one, again, China. We got the big tech who think that they're smoking their own dope. Big agriculture is next. I mean, and to me, it's like, and I said this yesterday on the show, it's like, no wonder guys like Tim Pool and the guests he has on his show are like, F the government. We'll do anything, and you know, we'll do anything to get out of this. And he's now a little behind. He's going to catch up to us. But that's what Bitcoin is about. But it's all falling apart. And I think I know that we laugh about it, but America Online was the end all be all. That was it. This was interactive computing. You had your email. You had your discussion groups. So much so that MTV allowed me to register MTV.com because they had the AOL keyword. They weren't worried. And then they opened up that little window to the browser on the internet, and they were a dial-up company within 2 years.
See, I think the smoking their own dope is 100% true. Like, because these guys are too young. They don't know fully how the system works.
Whereas we have been to the mountaintop.
Yes, yeah, that's right. Well, I mean, go back to Microsoft. They were in the same position. Position of actual, like, Facebook is not a monopoly. I'm sorry, they're not. A monopoly is somebody who owns an industry. Facebook is not a monopoly.
Well, they have a duopoly with Google on advertisements.
On advertising, yes. So, but Microsoft back in the 90s was an actual monopoly.
Yeah.
I mean, like, if you want to define, you know, to go down that road.
Classic,
well-defined monopoly. And that one of the most interesting things that I heard, you know, ever that came out of that case was that somebody had told Microsoft or one of Microsoft's legal representation that y'all just thought y'all could, something to the effect of, y'all just thought y'all could stay over there and not participate in the game. Basically, they had not been lobbying. They had not been putting the money into the government.
It's worse, Dave. In 1990, I want to say 5 or 6, I'd not taken the company public yet. My co-founder and I, we were hired by Microsoft to help them come up with an internet strategy. And they put us in for 4 days in a room with no windows, pizza lunches brought in.
Yeah.
And they were, it was so obvious. They didn't care. They didn't care at all. It was not interesting. Of course, you know, they felt they had the lock on this nasty internet thing with Explorer. And I think, you know, the integration into the OS was a very anti-competitive move. But the end result, and I think this was the point that was made, maybe it was on Podland, is that, you know, now years later, we have Explorer, and everyone hates it. They hate having to deal with it. And I think it's put a negative on that whole company. It's a bad mark for them for the rest of their lives.
Well, these new, younger, quote-unquote, monopolies don't understand that you can't, that they are not big, and they're too big for their own britches.
Yeah.
They haven't understood that they're dealing with old power games and old money games that don't give two rats about them.
Right.
Like, you know, listen to this. Like, this is, who is this? Representative David Cicilline, a Democrat from Rhode Island. He said, if it's not already clear, Facebook is not compatible with democracy. Threatening to bring an entire country to its knees to agree to Facebook's terms is the ultimate admission of monopoly power. Listen to that language. He says, threatening to bring an entire country to its knees. Dude, this is Facebook.
Yeah.
It's just a website. You're not bringing the whole country to its knees. It is literally just a website. And this other dude already said he changed his homepage and he's done. He's fine. He's moving on.
Yeah.
Like, and I think this ties into something else. I think one of the reasons why maybe Facebook and perhaps Twitter and some of these other social, you know, these social media companies, maybe one of the reasons why they are thinking they're smoking their own dope and thinking they're too big, they can play at this level. Maybe it's got to do with the fact that we've given them too much power over the last, you know, few years, and where they can like, oh, we're deplatforming people. We're silencing misinformation. They really think that they are the arbiters of reality.
Well, thank you. I haven't found a good way to explain this yet, because the only reason why deplatforming is a thing. Now, there's different kinds of deplatforming. Financial deplatforming is an issue. But when it comes to taking someone off of Twitter or Facebook or YouTube, so then we have the trifecta. It's because of the vanity of the users. The users believe all the numbers. So when, you know, likes and retweets and all this stuff, yeah, maybe it's the right number. I don't think so. You know, all of that is algorithmically driven. You are, in fact, called a user. It's the old joke, but you are hooked. It's not a theory. It's a fact. There's much admission about the brain that is being manipulated to using a lot of these systems. And with that comes one of the sins, man, vanity. It's almost like asking for people to support you in value for value. You feel ashamed. I'll say it. I know. I mean, I was a highly paid entertainment guy to then say, oh, please send me money because no one's going to hire me. But when you reposition your head and go, hey, you know, this is valuable. You know, if you're a human being, you'll send me some value. That's pretty much the pitch right there. It's not that hard, but it's something to get over. So when you realize that, hey, I actually get engagement, and have conversations with people on platforms that are not really known, or would be better, protocols that, you know, aren't the big promoted ones, the ones that flow through onto television. I mean, that's a whole ecosystem. Mm-hmm. If you think that's important to you, or that all your friends must listen to what you say because they're on Facebook, if they're interested, they can find you on these other places. So it's within ourselves. I'm agreeing with you. It's within ourselves that we have this need to be, you know, the 15 minutes of fame. And I can say, fame ain't all that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's that whole idea that what happens online is reality.
Yeah.
Well, specifically what happens in social media is reality. Mm-hmm. That thing needs to that idea needs to go away. And I think that's what I'm saying. They are shooting themselves in the foot. If they don't roll this back after, let's just say, a week, they're dead, man. I mean, they're toast in that country, because people will just find out, they'll just go back to what they used to do, which was fine too. You know, that's the thing is what we had without Facebook. Let me say it this way. I've got a Facebook account. I haven't logged into it in probably over a year. And you know what? It's just fine. Life is fine. Nothing's different about my life. Everything is just fine. This is not, Facebook is not reality. It's just like the antitrust lawsuit against, was it General Mills? And there was this big, you know, thing about claiming that General Mills was a monopoly. And at the time, for breakfast cereal. And it was like, there was this, the lawsuit went on and on. And at some point, during the case, the judge said, you know, I don't think this really qualifies as a monopoly, because I don't even eat cereal. He's like, I'm kind of a sausage and eggs kind of guy myself. And it's like, at some point you got to step back and say, you know what?
Yeah.
This is not really that big of a deal, because the whole rest of the internet exists.
All right, so I'm going to simplify this for myself because I think this is what it comes down to. And podcasting is a part of all of what's going on now with Silicon Valley in an odd way. This is a story I've told before, but it's important to understand the one thing, and it started, well, I couldn't get on Facebook back when Twitter started because it didn't have a .edu, so I'm not quite sure how they did it, but Twitter was Jack Dorsey and all those guys. They had Odeo, and Odeo was a podcast platform which was built in Flash, and you would be able to use a Flash-like studio, which would help you record. And I only saw a demo of it once, but you know, it was like holy crap. Then YouTube hadn't popped up yet, so you know, Flash was not such a thing. The way they were presenting is like very impressive, and they also had a listening side to it. And the one thing they had before they never launched that podcast company, and they relaunched is Twitter. And what they had at the time, they did the impossible, which is why it didn't work. And we all remember the fail whale, because they had a system based on RSS feeds. And they were, in essence, taking the feed and saying, okay, here's your TL, here's your timeline, and you can add things to your timeline by following someone. So they changed the model from subscribe, which was a laborious right-click, copy, switch apps, paste process to subscribe to feeds. They changed that into a centralized way to subscribe. And this was the only thing that could not be fixed in the decentralized model. Dave Weiner had no idea for it. No one had an idea for it. Now we have some things like WebPub, which can function quite well for some of this publish subscribe. But that's what they had. And when that took place, Google realized, oh, this is the thing. This is what people want. They want a feed. So everyone creates a stream, a feed, and then we can aggregate it. And we're going to centralize it. And we better not have. And this is important because we got to smoke our own dope. They don't want anyone to know about RSS because it is the one thing that can be used to get rid of all of them. RSS, creating an RSS feed. You know, there's still ways to do it. Mm-hmm. It gives you the exact same functionality without the algorithms, which you could add in yourself if you wanted to. Mm-hmm. And it's truly decentralized. And so when it comes to people don't know how stuff works, that's the genesis of social networks, is RSS and a centralized subscription mechanism. That's it.
Yeah.
And Apple provided the same. They had the iTunes widget. And because they were trusted enough, because they had the one-click centralized subscribe. That was the power. So if we can replicate that, which I think we already kind of are doing, it's, you know, we're doing it in a distributed way. The centralized part comes together on your app, and weaker links in the chain, like the index, although it's, we can replicate it, and we could, you know, and eventually distribute it.
Yeah, we're going to fix that. We're going to fix that.
You see, my point is like all of this could come down, including Apple and Spotify. And when you have innovative tool makers like Buzzsprout, who are really playing into, okay, we understand the type of user we have. We're not going to try and change them, but we're going to make a damn good output based upon what they want to do with the technology.
Well, that ties back into why, at least for me personally, why I am so anti moderation within the podcast space, is because as soon as you allow as soon as you allow an entity to pop up as a moderator, you end up with things like Facebook, Twitter. I mean, you end up with some. Once you grant,
well, that's the separation of creation and aggregation. That's the thing right there. An aggregator should ban whatever they want their users not to see. Do whatever you want, but a provider shouldn't be banned from getting in the system.
Play. I didn't know if we were going to do this today. Let's see. Play And I hope I may be horning in on Mo's turf here, but I brought some Malcolm X clips.
Oh, no, no. It's just as much my turf as it is Mo's.
Okay.
All right. Malcolm X brought us together.
Well, I'm about 22 or 23 speeches into Malcolm X's catalog so far. And I can tell, let me say this. Malcolm X, I now believe, is like, how do I want to describe him? He's one of the greatest black philosophers in American history.
Let me put it this way. He is the real deal. And I'm going on a limb here, but this is stuff that Mo and I have talked about. Martin Luther King Jr. is to Malcolm X what Greta Thunberg is, I don't have a good example, but Malcolm X was more, Martin Luther King was more of a marketing type icon that was put there, like a Greta Thunberg of, for climate change. It sounds weird, and people who don't know the history of Malcolm X and Martin Luther King Jr. will probably think I'm a dick, but, listen to some Mo facts and you'll learn real quick. There was a whole period before, once the Nation of Islam, and then things did change, yeah. And he had other influences in his life. But early Malcolm X, mind-blowing stuff. Mind-blowing. And I never learned that in school. I don't think you did either.
Oh, no, no. Yeah. To me, especially here in the South, Malcolm X was anathema.
Like, exactly.
Yeah. Martin Luther King was revered
right
here.
Yeah.
And because he was nonviolence. And that was his whole thing. And he was religious. He was Christian and that kind of thing. But, if you ever brought up Malcolm X, it was like, oh, no, we don't. It's like, we just want to treat him like he didn't exist. And so this is and I'm 44. This is the first time I'm hearing a lot of these Malcolm X ideas.
You're ahead of me. It wasn't until I was 52. I mean, I'm 55.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the guy's a freaking genius. He literally was a genius to be able to look at the landscape and just immediately identify these things and then go one step further and come out and actually say them. Like, okay, so play clip two.
Malcolm X. We will, I hope, get some phone calls, but there are many things that I want to get out of the way here. And I know that many times you have been involved in riots. At least you have been accused of inciting a riot. There was one this spring, I think, in Los Angeles, which became turned into a very unfortunate affair.
It wasn't a riot. What the press initially reported as a blazing gun battle between Muslims and police, after investigation, ended up being the blazing guns of the police at innocent Negroes, seven of which were shot down, one of which died, two of which were brothers from Philadelphia here, and one of them both of them were shot in the back, one of them was shot in the spine and is paralyzed for the rest of his life. And the city of Los Angeles probably has the worst case of human rights violation, not civil rights, human rights violation on its hands that any city has ever had. And when the public becomes acquainted with the facts of what happened out there, it will look mighty bad. I don't think anywhere in the history of Mississippi, Alabama, and Louisiana combined have seven Negroes been shot down at one time. But it happened in Los Angeles, California.
Okay, so that was like 1963 or four, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so play clip three.
So if you guys did not know...
That's not it. Clip three is... I think you got them out of order. So that was interview. So play clip two, Malcolm X inciting to violence.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. This one.
That's right.
A couple of weeks ago in Jacksonville, Florida, young teenage Negroes were throwing Molotov cocktails. Now, Negroes didn't do this 10 years ago. But what you should learn from this is they're waking up. It'll be Molotov. It was stones yesterday, Molotov cocktails today. It'll be a hand grenade tomorrow and whatever else is available the next day. The seriousness of this situation should be faced up to. You should not feel that I'm inciting someone to violence. I'm only warning of a powder keg situation. That you can take it or leave it. If you take the warning, perhaps you can still save yourself. But if you ignore it or ridicule it, well, death is already at your doorstep. There are 22 million African Americans who are ready to fight for independence right here. And when I say fight for independence right here, I don't mean any nonviolent fight or turn the other cheek fight. Those days are gone. Those days are over.
Wow. President Trump aligned with Malcolm X. That must freak some people out.
So that clip that you just heard took place a few years before the clip previous to that.
Mm-hmm.
And you can clearly hear, and he was very clear about this his entire career until his death, that he never was inciting violence. And he said it over and over and over again. He was saying two things. He was saying, if you don't recognize what's happening and what's boiling over in the black community, you're going to regret it. And number two is the black population should defend itself because the government is not defending it. The government is not jumping in and defending the black population. And so they should be able to do it themselves.
Exactly.
And so those two things, he never incited violence and told people to go out and be violent. But in the clip, the first clip you played, which happened years after that, they were still accusing him of inciting violence.
Well,
and that's my point is the whole idea of moderation of having a moderator, somebody who will silence speech.
Mm-hmm.
Malcolm, if Twitter and Facebook had existed in 1962, Malcolm X would have been canceled immediately.
Yeah.
Precisely. Because he would be quote unquote inciting violence, even though he never did. And that is the
threat. You make a very good point.
That's the threat of having moderation in there is that somebody has to make the decision, and that person's decision making or that group's decision making is not always in the best interest of anybody except them. So,
which is why choice is better.
Yeah.
Choice is always going to be better.
Well, it's antithetical to advertising to have some of this stuff on your platform. And nobody would have wanted Malcolm X on their platform saying that you better get ready because it's going to be, you know, it was stones yesterday, it's Molotov cocktails today, and it's hand grenades tomorrow.
Hey, who owns those audio recordings? You said there's a collection you were listening to?
Yeah, I started listening to it on an audiobook. There's a collection on Audible. But then
this would be great for a podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, a lot of this has got to be public domain by now.
I think so. And I found a cache. This guy's selling selling like 50 something speeches and all the transcripts for all of his speeches for like $20. And I was like, oh, yeah, here, take my money.
Cool.
And I downloaded them all as MP3s.
Now, has he copyrighted that? The transcripts he could copyright. Has he copyrighted the audio? I'm just trying to figure out if you could put it on a podcast because that'd be dynamite.
Yeah, I think it would be. I don't know. I need to. I'll contact him. But I think a lot of these were like university speeches and interviews on old radio shows that don't exist anymore. I don't know if any of them would still be under copyright.
Mm.
There's one I can't find from Brown University that I'm trying to find, and it's like. It's supposed to be really good. It's from early. It's like 1961, one of his earliest speeches. But anyway, that's. I think that you know, we like I said before, we just have too. Our memories are way too short.
Oh, and, oh, please. You know, yes. Well, because the random access memory is continuously overloaded with signals. We have trouble even finding the backups or the cold storage. Like, where was it?
Yeah, you know what? If the world figures out they can just stop social media, can just stop these things. I mean, it's really that simple.
Well, we can. You're right. It's that simple. We can stop it. Just stop it. Stop it. Set up a little thing with your. Set up a Mastodon with your family. Just stop it.
Yeah, you know.
Oh shit. Oh fuck. Sorry.
You're all right.
I'm so passionate here. Yeah, I tipped over my coffee. It's okay. It's okay.
Let's see. I can tell you where Okay, so you may not get Malcolm X on your platform, but I can tell you what you will get on your platform. And this is, okay, I got to make, well, I guess I have a confession that, you know, I say that I'm clipping these podcasts in yes. order for...
you mean the Malcolm X? The Malcolm X or
no,
something?
No, 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 no. Okay, not Malcolm X.
Oh, okay.
This is not... So maybe Malcolm X wouldn't have been allowed on these platforms in 1960, you know, one or today even. But here's what you do get with nice content, moderated, brand aware, brand safe,
pre-packaged process. Yes.
You get clip 4 Charlie pre-roll
sanitized for your production.
So, if you guys did not know, I recently started the Invisalign treatment, and I think I am in week 11. And quite honestly, it is going pretty great. It's a lot better than when I had braces, just due to the fact that I feel so confident in my smile without having big brackets like I did before when I had clear braces. And I feel like Invisalign is just a super great fit, and I'm really able to see all of the improvement in every single picture I take every day because I can just see my smile getting better. If you did not know, Invisalign is the most advanced clear aligner system, and they are so much more comfortable than braces. Invisalign treatment really lets me do what I want to do. I can still dance, eat whatever foods I want. Obviously, popcorn's one of my favorites. I can play sports, musical instruments, whatever I want without any wires or brackets getting in the way. But let's be honest here, one of the best parts about having Invisalign and not braces is that I can truly just eat whatever I want, especially for Thanksgiving season when I'm going to be eating a lot of food and do not have time for broken brackets. Invisalign has really changed my life and made me more confident in my smile.
The thing that was... Okay, go ahead. I have an impression just for a second. What was horrifying... She was smacking her microphone. Noise made me see like the white stringy goo in her. It's very ASMR turn off.
Okay, two things. Number one, when did it become Thanksgiving season?
Well, Hallmark did that.
Okay. Number two, I mean, does Invisalign? Did they hear that host read in the boardroom and like, oh God, she nailed it. High fives all around the boardroom. Like this, she just killed it here.
No, the advertising has changed. The media buyers who make these deals, they're down the line and it's the same thing. Oh, these kids, they get it. They understand how it works. So it sounds like crap to me, but the kids who we hired to do this, they know what the kids like. And you know what, Dave, maybe they're right. I don't know. I don't know the sales numbers. It doesn't sound appealing to me.
Well, I keep coming to the show with these clips of these you know teenage social media influencers, and it's starting to grow on me, and I'm actually starting to like. I say that I'm just clipping it for the show, but I'm more like sickly fascinated.
Well, hold on a second. This is interesting. If you could turn this this passion of yours into you know, something useful for the world. Like, let's get these kids to leave Spotify and come over where the real playground is.
Oh yeah.
I'll make some sats.
I will let you, contact her and explain lightning to her.
She shouldn't have to know.
This is like, you know, I have this is like my secret musical shame, which is Shania Twain.
I love Shania. Is she still married to Matt? Mutt Lang?
I don't know, but she made a comeback.
Yeah.
She's making albums again.
Yeah, but she was married to Mutt Lang, the Def Leppard producer. You know, Mutt Lang. It's like,
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, so what about her?
No, it's just I'm supposed to be a metal. I'm supposed to be a metalhead. All my buddies think I'm a metalhead, but I like Shania Twain and Rick Astley and Bruce Hornsby and all these guys.
Wow, see, I'm not prejudiced like that. And a lot of people always say, "Oh, you just put on the you just put on the leather jacket. You're not really a metal guy." And I totally was. You know, I wasn't like.
I literally have a Bruce Hornsby song right next to Megadeth on my playlist.
Yep. I think Bruce Hornsby, hold on a second. Shania Twain, this is great for podcasting 2.0. Shania Twain was married to Mutt Lange. They divorced in 2010. And then she got married to, holy crap. She got married to the Swiss dude. Okay, so she married some dude for the money. That didn't work. And then she... No, that was first. Oh, no. She's still married to him. Frédéric Thiebaud, French guy. Let me see.
Her voice
is a money guy.
It sounds totally different now.
It does. It does.
And it's like super deep. I mean, I think we have the same range.
You and Shania?
Yeah.
Do you sing, Dave?
No. Oh, God, no. No, you don't want that to happen anywhere close to you. Mm. No. Anyway. Sorry, I didn't mean to derail us from podcasting.
You did.
Sorry. We started with Malcolm X and ended with Shania Twain in some weird way. But I did get a good ISO out of a few different ISO.
Okay, all right.
Let's see, which one do I want to do? Do ISO 1.
Okay.
It is going pretty great.
Yeah, I heard that one right out there. I like that one. I'm going to...
It is going pretty great.
That's when my wife comes home. How was your day? I think it was pretty great.
But here, this one's better though. ISO 3.
Oh, ISO 3.
My first time with podcast.
Oh boy. What have we done?
My first time with podcast.
But see, if you want to know how to pronounce podcast, ISO 4
podcast.
Will tell you. Oh geez, hold on a second.
Podcast.
Podcast. That's right.
Yeah.
Podcast.
Podcast.
Go podcasting. That's how you do it.
Yeah. Oh yeah, lay it down. Is anything going to get us back on track here?
Nah, well, the only thing I could suggest to help us is to ask you what the hell went on this week. What did I miss? I saw, because we're on our break with Namespace. We're taking a little moment here for people to start implementing some stuff. And what am I even doing?
Now it's time for some hot Namespace talk.
What's your location, person?
Good one. So, yeah, Dame Jennifer said that the category stuff was hot. Now, I mean, I was like,
I saw that too. You know,
but for real though, like I like the categories that we have. I think I like the idea of non-hierarchical categories because you can. And my example was, you know, like climate news, climate politics,
right?
Like you don't have to be dependent on that. And so then,
you can do climate sports.
Yeah, yeah. And so, but then, and this was, I said it kind of jokingly, but it's true. You could do role-playing games, role-playing sex. I mean, like,
yeah.
I mean, like these things you don't necessarily mix and match, you know, in ways that we might predict.
So how many do we have now? How many categories?
There's like 111.
Yeah, so I thought it's 117 or something. I saw a number.
Something like that.
So, what's the process when another great one comes along?
We just
add it.
Yeah, just and make sure. Yeah, pretty much.
Stick it in. Just a tip, but we'll stick it in.
Yeah, we just say like, hey, does anybody else think this is a good idea? Yeah, okay, done. That's kind of it.
I like it, Dave. That's perfect. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I'm sure there's some linguistic parameters that someone could put around it, but maybe not. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, Bitcoin, for instance, where would that fall under finance?
Crypto.
Oh, we have a crypto tag? Oh,
we don't, but we need one.
Yeah, it seems like it.
There's not one in Apple Podcasts, and if somebody wants to go make a website and beg Apple to put a crypto thing in there.
Or come over here, we'll stick it in. Tell me how you want to go about it.
Don't do that as your PR. Come over here and we'll stick it in. Don't do that.
Podcasting 2.0. Come over here. We'll stick it in.
God, no.
This is it, man. This is our slogan. Podcasting 2.0. We'll stick it in. I think that's it. I'm going to write that down.
Notes. Take notes of that.
Is it podcasting? I just got to see. It sounded like 2.0, comma. We'll stick it in. Nice.
I think maybe we should work on that. Maybe chapters should be a bigger. Maybe that should be in phase three.
What, chapters?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Not chapters. Categories.
Categories. Yeah, categories. I don't know. What do you think?
I like the idea of, you know, people. If someone sets up a website like that, it's like, oh man, I feel bad for you. We just stuck it in for you. Yeah. Same with NPR, by the way. Seasons. How are we on Seasons? Is that all done?
Yeah, it's done.
Who's supporting it on the Buzzsprout? No doubt.
No, I don't think anybody's. NPR is the one that asked for it, so they're going to be the first ones to do it, probably. But
come on, Stacey.
You know, I know.
Come on, we stuck it in for you.
we gave you what you want. Make it happen.
just have one show. Tell your listeners you can listen to it with apps from newpodcastapps.com.
I don't know. When we come back from hiatus or whatever on the namespace, why don't we do categories?
Okay. So where are we on Lightning? Because I think I'm a little behind on that because I haven't seen. This is kind of one of the interesting things of a free open source software project like this. I don't know what people are doing. I look at the questions they're asking. It's like, maybe someone's at this point or that point. Do you have any idea if anyone's having any success with the LNPay integration?
I don't. I know Martin's working on it. And that's all I know about on the app. Now,
Martin
side.
Showed a couple of screenshots last week. I was like, ooh, yeah. Nice.
Well, you know, and we've been talking to Roy over at Breeze too, getting them close. They're getting close.
Yeah, that's going to be super interesting because this will be. So right now we have these different implementations, and some have a dream about people working together. I know it's crazy, but
yeah.
So Sphinx, they had the whole infrastructure and they added podcasting. Then we have a number of podcast apps, web apps or otherwise, or extensions, etc., that are adding it in, but they're really podcast app developers. And then we have a wallet developers. This is a third category, even though you could say Sphinx is also a wallet, but Breeze presents themselves as a wallet, and they are integrating it with podcasting. And so from what I've seen, and I think from what you've seen, they are trying to do a proper podcast app, but I have no idea if they'll have chapters or transcripts. I mean, to me, I'll bet you they come out pretty standard just getting the Lightning stuff running because they're doing the whole Node back end. I think they're working on a podcaster solution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to see what all these things look like because me and you were saying at the beginning it was going to be much easier for a wallet app to include podcasting than a podcasting app.
Yeah, I'm kind of coming back from that. I don't think that was correct.
I am too. Yeah. Now that I think LNPay leveled the playing field.
Yeah, it did. Definitely.
Because at the beginning, it was going to be too difficult. I mean, writing a Lightning-compatible wallet app, I mean, God, that's not easy.
No. Well, especially, I mean, there's all the stuff, you know, that especially when you're talking about Keysen, you know, then you do have to have proper channels, channel management. But I like it because it shows where the value is. And, this is what we need to talk about. The splits, the 100%, the fee thing on top. Because I think we're getting to a very good place where, well, we need price discovery. You know, what does it cost for a podcast app to do this in conjunction with LNPay? So how does LNPay make money? How do you discover price on that? How do we do that with Breeze, who are giving you, you know, a full node, almost I think a full node setup with channels and liquidity and everything kind of built in and a way to purchase BTC from fiat. So they need to have some kind of fee structure to make it work for them. And I think some of the discussion that I saw about the splits and the fees was moving in a very good direction. And I've kind of let some barriers down. I'm not ashamed for us to say, all right, it's going to cost this much in a fee to use this app.
Yeah.
And if you don't like it, you can use another app or, you know, or set your value slider to zero or whatever. I think we need that when we shouldn't be bashful. And if Breeze says, oh, shoot, we need 3% on top or whatever it is, because they've got liquidity. I mean, when you open a channel, you're locking up money. You're locking up money for someone who wants to use it for free. That's not going to fly.
And Roy's article about inbound liquidity was excellent.
Outstanding. Yes, I should add that in the show notes.
Yeah, because that, like, I never saw it from that perspective before, because it always seemed like an annoyance. But when he laid it out, you're like, oh my God, this is really the way the whole thing works. This is really the key to the whole system is inbound liquidity.
Yeah, it's Lightning Economics, How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love Inbound Liquidity.
Yeah, great article. Long article, but great.
Yeah, putting it in the show notes. This is very, very good to read.
But, I think you're right. And I think there needs to be a market price discovery, market flexibility when it comes to that. I mean, like, you know, if, I mean, let's just say I'm an app developer and I have a killer podcast app. I mean, like, it's just, you know, it's awesome.
Yeah, you should be able to charge extra for it.
Yeah, man, 5%.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, I mean, if it's that good, people will pay it.
Or have some other option. I mean, that's all going to come into play.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the whole idea of free is just over. It's that will not work. There's no freemium model. Well, I guess technically you could, but it's unnecessary. And I've been living with as a consumer and as a listener and as a podcaster, I'm delighted. Yeah, I'm getting maybe $2 a day now. Okay. And so what is that? That's from Sphinx people and who knows what else is do. I mean, there's some people out there, and you've got PodStation. Mm-hmm. And I probably spend about, I don't know. I have my value slider high, so I'm at 100 sats a minute. So yeah, I'm sending a couple bucks a day for each podcast that I listen to.
Yeah, I spend probably $1 or $1.50 a day. Mm-hmm. And I think to give that perspective, before we started this thing, I was spending zero.
Yeah, precisely. I look at that number and go, that's two. And we have almost nothing in place. So I just, in my head, I go, oh, next time I look at it, that's going to be times 10.
Yeah.
And the next time I look at it, it's going to be times 100.
So I think that a couple of things need to happen, and this is going to help a few different players here. Number one, we need to have the custom record field in there so that we can handle a couple of different scenarios that people are facing for inbound.
Right. No, we had a spec in Start where we discussed it, I think, about how we provide information along with the payment.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we need to start that.
Yeah, we got it. We need to do that. And the other part of that is I think we need to adjust the way the splits are calculated. And I don't think it's going to necessarily break anything if I understand it right. And so I think a few people suggested going away from a 100% split breakdown and splitting it by percentage and just instead going into the concept of shares. And so you just say the split, each value recipient split is not a percentage of 100 that needs to calculate back to 100. Instead, it's just taken as an integer, just a number that represents a share of the total. And so, the numbers can stay roughly the same as they are in percentages, and it won't make much of a difference, but it gives you more flexibility so that you don't have to be constantly adjusting calculations and making, because people are going to screw up. People are going to say, If somebody puts a value block in with five people in it, they're going to make a mistake and it's not going to add up to 100. And it just, it's too rigid. There needs to be flexibility there.
If the payment, whatever the payment is, each share is just the percentage of that payment. And we don't worry about if it's 100% or not.
Yeah, right. You don't worry about if it all totals up to 100%.
Okay. Now, I agree. I think that's the way to go. Now, the fee, I like. How does that work out?
Yeah, so that just tells, and we're already putting that in the API return. So that just says, for us, if a podcast app is using us to get the information, it would return the value block, and then we would be in there as an extra split. But, you know, like, if you're having to say this is part of the issue with trying to adjust the 100% and all that stuff, is too hard. So we go in there with a one, our split is one, which would represent 1%, but it's got the type, it's got the fee moniker in there that lets the app know that we're not getting a share of the total. We're getting a percentage off the top. And so that says, you know, we have, go ahead and calculate all these splits. That's fine. Like you would normally do it. But before you do that, anything that's listed as a fee, you take that out first.
Ah, okay.
And send those key send payments. And then you do the splits. And so that would apply for instance, for like Buzzsprout, when we put, you know, Buzzsprout into our block, we would put them in as a fee.
Right. So, but then that fee comes from the listener in addition to the payment and the splits.
It could go either way. I mean, you could go in addition to, or it could be, you know, taken out of the total. I don't know what the right answer is there.
Okay. Transparency and surfacing of this information is the key.
Yeah. And I think what I'm going to do to make that happen is I think I'm going to go into the namespace, a repository, and make a value directory and just begin to build the documents for this that everything is explained. Right now, it's just sitting there as a tag proposal.
Right.
And there's not enough information. There needs to be more in there.
I know you're working on that. And I just want, as a side, I really like what Brian of London made for his what was he calling, kind of like his share management tool for the feed, which I guess is the equivalent of podcasterwallet.com.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That looked nice. I think he had some interesting ideas there.
Yeah, he says he's I'm a crappy programmer and all. And no, he's not. He's doing all this stuff. He's got great ideas. I think that the thing that he's seen, the stuff he's posting so far, looks wonderful.
Yeah. And so you are working on, I guess, in tandem with everybody else on podcasterwallet.com.
Yeah, and I've done quite a bit on that this week, and we got Graham over at Voltage. I sent him a test. I created a test feed for him last night to test their integration. So the idea here is going to be that when we get this working, is that you'll go into Podcaster Wallet, and when you claim your podcast, it'll come up and it'll give you three options: create a Sphinx node, create a Voltage node, or add your own custom node. So if you're wanting to just live in Sphinx, you would go that route. If, you know, they're still having some struggles with node availability, but let's just say in the future when they get all that hammered out, that'll be an option.
Sure.
The Voltage option will be just basically spin up, you know, it'll kick you over to Voltage, node.
Will it spin up and give you channels and liquidity, or is that not in the beginning?
Not sure yet during testing.
Well, what I want to do, we should talk to Graham about it. So when you spin up a node and you put BTC on it, Autopilot will start to open stuff up. And so you'll get outbound. But for inbound, if we could just get a ping, I mean, part of the beauty of Podcast Index as a community resource is we should be able to use some of our funds to open up liquidity to podcasters. And we'll give them good routing, because our nodes have been around for a bit now, and we've got some throughput. You know, we make at least 10 satoshis a day on forwarding.
10 whole sats. Wow.
Yeah. Sometimes
that's more. A great idea, though. That's almost like us acting as almost like a loop for the podcasters that come online. Yeah.
I mean, so that's why I was surprised, because I've been managing our channels with Sphinx with Paul for a while now. You know, it's like okay, mm-hmm. I make sure we've got enough liquidity to inbound from them. I make sure we've got stuff going back to them. And in turn, I make sure that you've got routing to your node. I've been adding these channels to everyone that I've helped bring up online or that I know of. Everyone's online. So yeah,
you opened up one to John Chigi and
yeah. So this that's just great architecture. That's just really going to help us a lot.
That would be super cool if they could just like send some BT, fire up the nodes, send some BTC, and then ping us and have a channel open. And then the last step in that link is they will call back to our API with the new node ID and the podcast index ID.
Ooh, slick. We can do that all with the macaroon.
Well, no, I mean, that last part where they call back, that should already be working. We already got that.
Right. But I mean, opening, we can get a ping from the index and you can, with a macaroon, you can, your systems there could open up a channel the index. You're just talking to LND. It's just another API, he said, with his developer hat on.
No, I don't see why that wouldn't work at all.
Yeah.
That sounds, and I mean, it's just an LNCLI command.
Scriptable money, baby.
Heck yeah. I mean, that's the stuff right there.
Right? Hey, before we start spending this money on opening channels, let's thank some people who sent us some.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Because this is channel money.
Channel money.
This is really channel money. This is a value for value podcast. The whole project is value for value. The way it works is you support the project if you get any value out of it. That could be from podcastindex.org, from podcast index.social, from this podcast, from the whole movement. You're a listener, you're a developer, you're someone who cares, you like freedom, you want to support it. All we ask you to give is your time, your talent, your treasure. Either one or all three. Everyone who is working on this has the first two covered, and a lot of them come in on the third. And we have a big red donate button at podcastindex.org. You can also send us Lightning payments. If you do send a Lightning payment, please put a memo in it, because I got 20,000 sats, I think yesterday. And I don't know who it came from. So I want to thank whoever sent that. That's like $10 these days.
Yeah.
More than that. And let's thank some of these people now.
Let's see. Make sure this is not. Let me make sure it's not anonymous. I don't think it is. Nope, doesn't say anything. Okay, this is a one-time donation, $66.33 from Scott Jalbert. A great episode interviewing David with Hypercatcher. I just imported my OPML from Marco's app, and I'm going to try it out.
Nice.
Can really start to see things coming together with Podcast Index on many fronts, and it's exciting to see it happen. Here's a little boost. Thanks.
A nice boost. Thank you. And by the way, if you're listening right now, crank up your value sliders. Boost, boost, boost.
Let's see what we got. This one just came in right before the show. Let's see, $46.22. This is from C-Mike. Okay.
All right, C-Mike. I know C-Mike.
Yeah, he says, long overdue value for value. I really wish I could help out more, but my human resources and wife demand attention too.
He has 9 kids.
Holy crap.
And 5 of them born during the course of him listening to the show.
That makes you feel old, doesn't it?
His wife is some kind of superwoman, man.
Is he Catholic?
I don't know.
Isn't that the Catholic thing, having tons of kids?
Sure. Could be. Maybe he just likes having kids.
I don't know. That too, actually.
I like the practicing part a lot.
Yeah. Let's see. No special meaning in the number, just what's left on this prepaid debit card.
Perfect. I love it. It's a great way to get rid of that extra money you got laying around. Thank you.
He says, go podcasting.
Go podcasting! By the way, Eric is working on this whole back-end system for producers. Now, he's doing it for No Agenda, but it'll be for us as well. And I think it's a great product. We have a donation page, and you go in and you fill out some basic information, whatever you want it to be, of course, but just to make it simple so we can track stuff. And he's also going to do Lightning and BTC payment options And it's going to be really cool. It's going to be nice. great for podcasters. I see total product there. Total product. Another little piece you can stick in your value block.
Yeah, stick it in.
Well, we'll stick it in for you.
We'll stick it in for you. That's the mantra. let's see. Sir Pete gave us $33.33.
From the Netherlands, Sir Pete.
Is that Pate? Sir
yep,
Pate?
Yep, P-E-E-T, yep.
Okay. Hi, Dave and Adam. Sir Pate Snakes here. Is that, that's it, Snakes?
Yeah, you got it. You got it.
Okay. I'm basically Dutch. Here's some cash. No blankets or water. Just a short thought triggered by your discussion with David Norman. I believe my comments on podcast and video timelines are more for me than anybody else. It's, at this moment, my public note-taking for my inner circle to interact with. So if I would be a consultant, it would be my notes for the producer. If I was a teacher, it's the collection of my media, of the media my students should listen to, and the reason, etc. I'm basically publishing my bookmarks on my media life to others, becoming a producer in my own right. That has been my dream for podcasting and books, and specifically presentations on events, making the note, this is important for these reasons. We need you to re-listen to this. Then David mentioned notator.
Yes.
Brilliant. Here's some value for value. Thank you, Sir Pete. So yeah, that notator thing, that was a good idea.
It's the dream, man. Being able to manipulate or create content on the device that you use to consume it.
Yeah.
That's which is why phones are pretty cool, if you think about it.
Let's see, who we got? Paul Saltzman.
Mm. Another old timer.
Let's see.
We know Paul.
He says, greetings. I'm thrilled to see this progress and unfortunately can't provide any digital contribution. So take my monthly fiat money.
All right. Cuckbucks. We love it.
Yep. Cuckbucks. He got a $22.22 subscription each month, which is super helpful.
Thank you very much. That's Paul. Fantastic.
Yeah. And that's going to help this month immediately because I just finished this stupid, annoying database migration. And that's going to cost us about $20 extra.
So. I was just thinking about something. As this starts to build out, you know, people who have, you know, $20, literally $20, as the Lightning Network and the pieces that are connected to it grows, there's a very distinct possibility people will be able to provide liquidity with opening channels and routing for podcasters and for listeners. We're going to need capacity. And it's not, my Raspberry Pi is not going to handle it. You know, we've got a nice beefed up node over at there at Voltage, but people could put their $20 into a channel and just by providing, liquidity and routing on the network can also make money off of the whole system.
Okay. I've got an idea around this that we do not have time for it today, but either next week. Well, we got a guest next week. We got Guilherme next week.
Oh, nice. Yeah. He's fun.
So maybe the week after I want to talk about this because it's a whole discussion.
Well, you're going to tease me anymore?
No.
Okay.
No, that's you got to earn it. $10 from Cecil Morgan. No note from Cecil, is a shame. I like reading notes.
Thank you, Cecil. Thank you very much.
One-time donation from Cecil. Let's see. We got Sean DeSantis also gave us $10. Again, no note, just a single donation.
Yeah, another name I recognize for sure.
Yeah. Thank you, Sean. And let's see. There's no note on this one. Chris Cowan gave us a $5 a month subscription, which
perfect.
Is great. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Chris. And that's it. That's great group, man.
But we appreciate the value that you have placed on what's happening here. And that's the beauty of it. Certainly when it comes to creative work, whether it's, podcasts or video or whether it's development, in my mind, it's all art. And you can only value that once you have it. And go look up the definition of value. It is truly only to be determined by the holder of the asset. You determine the value. So we hold nothing. But yeah, now we got $5.
play ISO 2. I forgot what that is.
ISO 2. Okay.
I can truly just eat whatever I want.
Oh.
It's not what I thought it was.
No,
it's not what I thought it was.
I don't know what's going on down there in Alabama.
ISO 5 might be okay, though. Let's see.
ISO 5.
Oh, my God.
That was really stressful.
Oh, my goodness. Such a great show.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're sending me the most important clips from it. I'm really learning about this podcast.
maybe not important, but definitely the most entertaining.
Wow, man. Okay, all over the map today.
Sorry about that. No, I'm all ADD.
No, I kind of like it. You know, I didn't have much of an update, and I think we still covered a lot of ground. I'm very excited to see what happens in the next couple of weeks as more stuff comes online. But I'm going to see if we can get set up with Buzzsprout, because and let's just do it for this show, just to start, and you know, see how we can work out some of the cross tool issues if necessary at all, you know, or if there's something I haven't even looked into how it all completely works over there, but it just seems like the guys who are out front is Buzzsprout by a long lead, not in support but in the tool part, and that's very exciting to me. And this podcast should have as much in there as possible created with tools that are available.
Yeah. It's bothering me too. Cause I mean, I want the person tag in there for sure. I just got that put into the index aggregators this week. So that's, we're consuming the person tag now.
And it looks cool. I mean, I'm seeing some of the playouts we got. It just looks cool.
I mean, immediately we can start doing really neat stuff with that. Like a trending person's
hot people, hot or not.
Yeah.
Swipe right. Damn it, there's Dave Jones again. Swipe left.
Come to Podcast Index, stick it in. That's what I
got. All right, Dave. What you doing this weekend? Do you need anything else for the next couple of days? Are we good on what we got to do?
No, I got a to-do list, which is that's all I need. To-do list and coffee.
That'll get me. Which is the one thing that we ran out of, and luckily we've got great neighbors. It's no good running out of coffee in any kind of crisis situation.
Are you bartering coffee for hot showers?
No, well, interestingly, the neighbor who... Well, I went out there and I said, hey, neighbor, you want to trade some weed for some coffee? And he said, you need weed? I said, no, I need coffee. I need coffee. I swear to God.
Wait, you got this in reverse.
He said, you out of weed? You need weed? No, man, I need coffee. It's like...
That's funny.
And it was the three of us standing out there shoveling the driveway with the wrong shovels, you know, with like dirt shovels. And one guy said, I got five pounds of beans and everything. And so they were grinding it in the car on the 110 with a little mini grinder and stuff.
It's like wampum.
It was total wampum. But then his hot water heater went out. We all have the same here, which is the tankless electric. But his pipes cracked at the heat exchange, and there's no plumber. There's nothing. You're not going to get anything.
You can't fix that. You got to just replace the whole thing.
You got to replace it. And so I said, hey, man, you know, come on over for a shower, whatever you guys want. And my other neighbor, something's broke over at his house, but he does have water. And he was joking around. We're on text groups. He's like, 25 cents a shower. I'm like, fuck it. 5 cents and we take Bitcoin.
Yeah, that's 100 sats a minute, buddy.
Just scan the QR code on your way into the bathroom. You'll be fine.
If you have like some kind of frou-frou fancy soap, like lavender chamomile, you get a boost. Do they give you a boost? Boost.
Woo! All right. Dave, thanks, man. Have yourself a great weekend. And we'll,
all right, you too. Yeah.
We will talk again next week for the board meeting of Podcasting 2.0, podcastindex.org. Until then, take it easy, everybody. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
It is going pretty great.